This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade.
Chris, you're probably fed up with people asking you about your musicianship as well as your work as an astronaut and this sense of discovery. But I guess music is also about discovery and about shared experience. And of course, you gained, I don't know, a particular kind of sort of notoriety with your, particularly with the Space Oddity video. I mean, do you tire of people asking you about that? Or is that, again, is that part of this idea of sharing the message and also showing people that, you know, it's important to have fun, whatever, however challenging the work you're doing is?
I think it was one of the science fiction authors who wrote that specialization is for insects. We're people. We should be multifaceted and we should celebrate what we're doing. And if I were a painter, then I would be painting every day trying to express the experiences that I've had. But I'm a musician in amongst the other various things that I've tried to do. And I've fronted bands for the last 25 years. In fact, just tomorrow I'm going to California to play with the band down there, and I've recorded and playing with symphonies and such. And I wrote and recorded an entire album of music while I was living on the space station for exactly the same purpose, to try and explain it to myself, and then in hopes that by expressing it that way, that it might more clearly explain it to someone who might not get it any other way. Some people, you know, they see a picture and they understand it, or they hold it in their hands, or they read about it, or they hear music, and it gets into your head in a different way. And so to have a guitar permanently up on the space station, it's been up there for almost 100,000 orbits now. That guitar was launched by the NASA psychiatrist back in 2001, just as crew support. And to have that guitar up there, to be able to play music, you know, and write music as a psychological support option, as a way to express ourselves, as a way to celebrate being in this entirely new place and seeing the world from a new perspective. You know, it's like a shepherd high on the hillside singing a song, or the early sailors going around the world and singing music that they knew. To me, it's just a celebration of the human experience.
Thumbs up from Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield returning from his command of the International Space Station. Chris was the
Chris, one of the questions we've been asking this week is a bit about the future in terms of space exploration. Obviously, it was something that compelled people. You go back to the 60s and the sort of space race, the peak of that. The narratives have changed now. You've got lots of private enterprise involved, many states saying, look, our problems on the ground are too profound. We have to leave this to the private sector to pursue. What do you think the sort of medium term looks like, and what should it look like? Does it worry you that private money is rapidly overtaking the likes of NASA and such in terms of being the main funding forces? And is there a risk that we get too preoccupied with the immediate problems on our doorsteps that we miss what is, in this case, literally and almost metaphorically, the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think it would worry me, except what you just said isn't true. We've never been busier in space exploration than we are right now as a species. The United Arab Emirates is a space agency. The Indian Space and Research Organization is more active than they've ever been. China can launch people into space. Japan is talking very seriously about their space program to put people on the moon within the next 20 years. We've had people permanently living in space since the fall of 2000. We left Earth permanently as a species in the fall of 2000. And there are five folks up in the station right now running the 200-odd experiments on board. We have rovers on Mars. We've actually driven by Pluto. We've landed on a comet. And all of that, primarily, is still at the national level and funded by governments. There's a lot of sort of rumor that there's privatization. But privatization is where a private citizen can buy a service from another private citizen and do what they want. And we're not that way in human spaceflight yet. There are people that are pursuing it. Even companies that have a great sort of private reputation, like SpaceX, it's a government contractor. They get billions and billions of dollars every year from the government to enable space exploration, just like Boeing and just like whatever, Ariane Space or any of the big contractors. So there hasn't been some great paradigm shift yet. But eventually, the technology will be good enough that it can get into private hands. And that's how it should go. It's just like train travel, any sort of travel, sea travel. Sea travel didn't used to be for the paying public, but now people go on cruises all the time. Air travel used to be only for the daredevils and then the very rich. And now it's so commonplace you don't think about it. And space travel is still in the early, very complex and dangerous phase. So it's by no means readily available yet, but it's getting there. And I think it's a natural and desirable progression. That's how good our technology should be. We take it for granted here in two dimensions. Why not try and apply it to the third? And I very much support and commend all of the companies that are chasing that, no matter what funding model they're following right now.
He's a uniquely talented person on the planet and now a uniquely talented person off the planet.
Chris, just a final thought then. I often wonder, people who do incredibly diverse, often dangerous, very fascinating, compelling things in their day job, like yourself, how do you, how do you take a load off back at home? Is it a question of actually just finding rewards in doing as little as possible? What does proper downtime for Chris Hadfield look like?
For me, a change is always as good as a rest. And I like doing things with my hands. I like doing physical things. I love chopping wood or cutting the grass or fixing things or rewiring I just put a new ceiling fixture in my house or building something to make my little set of my own personal circumstances a little better. But for me, downtime is not nothing time. I have no desire to do nothing. You know, I don't find doing nothing restful. I find it kind of pointless and a little bit, how do you know even how time has passed? You just sort of accomplish nothing. You know, I want to be more than a cactus. You know, I want to be able to try and use whatever things I've learned and the skills I have to do the things that challenge and inspire and interest me. And so I just finished filming a series with the BBC to let people see what astronaut selection is like. And there's a 6-part series coming out in the fall. And I'm making a 10-part series of National Geographic right now called One Strange Rock, headed up by Darren Aronofsky. And I think it's just going to be brilliant. And I'm writing my 4th book, and I teach at university. And playing music, being able to play with a symphony, to music that I wrote or wrote with my brother or my son while off of the planet, to then bring that back, have a full symphonic score and have imagery and words and the music to try and explain this experience. To me, that's the ultimate downtime. That's just such a lovely, completely different way of celebrating the things that I really treasure and value and honor in my life. And that's what I'm always pursuing, is opportunities like that.